call.
Alex. Clemens.
Here.
McGuire.
Here.
Michaels.
Here.
Mitchell.
Here.
Summers.
Here.
Weibel.
Here.
Cohort.
Present. Need approval of the agenda.
So moved.
Moved and seconded. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Need approval of the minutes for June 9th, 2017.
I move to approve as is.
I'll second.
And second. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? No public participation. Any communication from the committee? Seeing none. Need approval of the county and township motor fuel tax claim for June and July 2017.
I move to approve.
I don't want to second everything, guys.
I'll second.
Been moved and seconded. Any discussion? Seeing none. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Okay, we're going to the county engineer's report.
All right. Item number eight is a resolution appropriating $350,000 from the Highway Federal Aid Match Fund for the improvements on County Highway 13, which we talked about at the June meeting. It's going to be a hot-in-place recycling job, federal aid, which means 80% of the project will be paid out of federal dollars. This is the matching money. That's why we have the Federal Aid Matching Fund, to match the federal dollars to do the project from the Homer-Sydney Road down to the South County line.
I move to approve.
Second.
Okay, it's open for discussion.
Jeff, where does that road go to?
Where does it go to?
Yeah, if he wants out.
What is that little town down in Douglas County?
Newman.
Newman.
Yeah, I had to think about it just for a second.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, there's something at the end of it.
Yes, sir.
And Route 36.
And Route 36. It goes clear to 36.
Yeah.
Wow.
Okay, any more discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed?
Next resolution is appropriating $30,427 from the Motor Fuel Tax Fund for our KUATS fees. For this time in 17 till this time in 18. These are funds that KUATS uses to do all their planning and all their developing of all of our grant proposals and so forth. It's set by a resolution by the policy committee of KUATS, who will pay what portion of the fees that are paid by the entities to KUATS, and our portion has been a similar price for the last few years, but it's $30,427 this year.
Make a motion to accept.
I'll second.
Moved and seconded. Open for discussion.
Jeff, this is kind of an ongoing thing. This really hasn't changed much in dollars, I don't think, has it?
No.
It's pretty much stayed the same because it's a prorated item.
Yeah.
Don't see that moving anytime soon.
No, they get a lot of planning money from the state and the feds that runs KUATS. And they also do some outside consulting, actually, mm-hmm. and get paid directly by some entities to do plans and different types of grant proposals. Mm-hmm. So, Yeah, it was the same amount last year.
I thought it was pretty similar.
Yeah, it didn't change at all this year. The year before that, it jumped maybe 1% or 2%.
But
it doesn't move around much. But they have to have a certain portion from the locals to match their grant money from the feds so that they can continue to do business.
Brad, if you want to say something?
No.
Any more discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed?
The next two resolutions kind of go together. The first one is we're rescinding a resolution to use motor fuel tax money, $500,000, on the ADA sidewalk improvements, which need to be complete by July of 2018. The reason we're rescinding this resolution is because if we use state money to do these sidewalk improvements, anytime you remove a sidewalk on public right-of-way, it's considered in the eyes of the state excavation. Anytime you excavate, it kicks in an environmental study. And if there's any kind of old gas station, fertilizer plant, anything like that within a one-mile radius of the work, we end up paying a ton of money to investigate the soils and do an environmental assessment of each sidewalk that we're going to be doing, which is 38 different places around the county, which would probably cost more than the project in itself. If we use highway funds, which is the next resolution, we don't have to go through all that because we're not using state funds, so they don't feel like they're at all in any way have any, they're not hanging out on it because they're not using their money. I can't believe that they consider sidewalk removal as excavation, but that's what their rules and their regulations say. So we're going to skip using motor fuel tax money and use county highway funds to do this project.
Well, I move to approve this resolution.
Second.
We'll move to second, open for discussion.
Sorry, it's me again.
It's fine.
I'm wondering if we're changing funds, what does that do to other projects?
Well, the highway fund, we don't generally fund road projects out of. The only time we do is when we don't want to deal with all the other BS that goes with them. And what I'm trying to do is we had the Ameren Rivers project came through. Brad, you remember that. Mm-hmm. And they used some of the county highways in order to put up their poles and haul their materials and so forth, kind of like when they do a wind farm. Mm-hmm. We had a road use agreement that said any damage they did to the roadways had to be paid by Ameren. So they did an assessment of the roadways prior. They did an assessment of the roadways post-construction. Their own assessment, when I ran the numbers, came up that we should get hundreds of thousands of dollars out of Ameren due to the damage to the roadways. That money is going to go into the highway fund, and I'm planning on using that to fund this.
Okay.
I haven't got anything from Ameren that says exactly how much they're going to pay us. I actually requested $1 million knowing I wasn't going to get $1 million. If I get half of that, I'll be elated. That'll pay for this.
Right.
Actually, the latest estimate on the sidewalks is more in the $300,000 range. So if we get somewhere in that range, we'll be able to just kind of use that money to do the sidewalks. That's the plan.
You still haven't settled with them on that yet?
I sent them everything to
them. They must have wanted to get rid of me.
Josh or whatever.
Yeah.
And I guess Bob already got his money.
I did too.
You
they
did.
Want to get rid of me quick.
Yeah.
And because we sent a number that I thought was just nuts. And
they gave it to you?
Yeah.
Well, maybe they'll give me my nutty number. I don't know.
You're a little guy.
It was still a bunch of money.
Mm-hmm. You'll pay it back monthly when you write your check.
I'm sure.
Everybody at the table will.
Now, is Ameren going to repair any damage they...
No, we would repair it. Although, their assessment is, we have our own pavement management study, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so we run the roads every 2 years, do our own analysis. We have our own pavement management study report that I showed you guys in June. I don't know where they got their numbers from, but they said that the pavement quality index on Monticello Road dropped significantly. I don't see it when I drive the road, but that's what they put in their report. I got their before report and their after report.
Hmm.
And if you take the difference between where it was and where it is and the fixes that we would have to do, if that number was actually legitimate, that's what I charged them for. So I said, if it was a 75, we should do a seal coat. If it's a 45, we should do a 3-inch overlay. So I'm going to charge you for a 3-inch overlay. I'm going to take off the cost of the seal coat, and the difference between there is what I'm going to charge you. I haven't heard that they're going to say no. I haven't heard they're going to say yes.
That's basically what I did, and they didn't bat an eye.
So we'll see. We'll see what they come back with.
Hey, Jeff, you ever hear any more from Henley Township? I know that I had been to a meeting there, and they were kind of grumbling about the whole issue with the hammerings.
They got money.
They did get it?
Yep. Yeah, I don't know how much Bob got, but he was happy with it.
Good.
He asked for a whole bunch and got half of it, whatever that number was. I think he got 90,000.
Oh, wow.
Does that seem about right?
I got a lot more than that, but they destroyed my roads.
They were coming across from Rising, so they went across his roads.
Oh, okay.
The problem they had was is when they were doing this project, they would leave when the weather was fit here, but when it would rain or be wet, freezing and thawing, they'd be working on us. I don't know where else they were going.
Yeah.
They liked working in the mud.
So that's the plan. If we don't get as much money as I'm anticipating, we might have to draw from our reserves to pay for the ADA, but it's not going to impact any other projects. It actually puts money back into the motor fuel tax fund, which we typically use for our roadway projects.
Right. Okay, any more discussion? All in favor say aye.
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 Anyone opposed?
So the next resolution is the money appropriating the funds from the highway fund for these sidewalk improvements that we just rescinded. It's a little less. I had estimated 500,000 back when we did the original resolution. This one's 400. I don't imagine we'll even use that much, but I hate to underestimate and then come back and ask again. So,
I'll second.
The move is second. Open for discussion. Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
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 Anyone opposed?
So the next item on the agenda is the Highway Department budget. Rick and Tammy changed the format of the, what do they call those, the legislative hearings?
Budget hearings
this year. And the department heads won't actually be presenting their budgets, and Tammy and Rick will do kind of a brief overview of the budgets for you guys. I will be there on the night that it's presented, but I thought it best to at least give the Highway Committee the opportunity to see the budget in a more in-depth kind of review. So it's not totally done. Tammy hasn't done the numbers for like the 2018 budgeted as far as what we're going to have left over, what we're going to have in reserves, but the preliminary budget is in here, you know, what I'm asking for, where we're at in 2017, and all the other, you know, stuff that goes along with the budget. So I thought we would take a few minutes here and go through it like I typically did when we came to the county board and presented our budget. So hopefully it won't take too long. Feel free to ask any questions that you have, and we'll try to get through it here. Oh, I didn't give you one?
No, sir.
I'm sorry.
I might have stolen yours.
Thank you.
So we'll just kind of, it's like 27 pages long, but it shouldn't take that long.
No, that's not bad.
So as you know, the Highway Department has multiple funds that we draw from. We have the Highway Fund, the Bridge Fund, Motor Fuel Tax Fund, federal aid matching, and then we also get federal surface transportation program funds on an annual basis, and we're anticipated in 2018 to be receiving around $837,000 in federal funds, although the federal funds aren't really anything that you have to keep a reserve or even a zero, you know, a balanced budget in. The state keeps track of it. We're actually in the hole quite a bit because we've done a lot more than we've received. And that's because a lot of the counties around us just simply don't have the money to match their federal funds. So they give them up, basically. And whenever they give them up, I snag them. And we end up doing projects with them. So the state kind of keeps a balance, if you will, of where each county and municipalities at as far as expenditure of their federal funds. We're well in the negative. We're anticipating $837,000 this year towards that STR fund for Champaign County. As you know, we also receive all the motor fuel tax funds on behalf of the townships, and we do all their maintenance programs, and we're the ones that make the payments and and do everything with the motor fuel tax fund on behalf of the townships. So we've got 28 rural townships that actually have a road district, two in the urban area, City of Champaign Township and Cunningham, which do not have road districts. So they don't have any mileage. We don't get any money for them, but we do receive it for the 28 different rural townships. And then each township has their own road district fund, their joint bridge fund if they levy for one. And then there's also a township bridge program, which takes $15 million off the top of the motor fuel tax fund each year and allocates the money to the counties to spend on township bridges, basically based on the number of miles that you have in the state as prorated to the total miles of township roads in the state. So we generally get, and it's been real steady for 10 years, $325,000 in township bridge program funds. And those are, we can spend those on any township bridge, 80% total funding from that, with the township matching 10% and the county matching 10%. And sometimes if we get a really bad bridge in a township that doesn't have enough money, we go a little bit farther than that as far as the county's portion of those projects. But that's how that money is expended. And then we also see federal bridge replacement funds. That's what we're actually using down on the Monticello Road project that we're doing right now over the Kaskaskia River. You can see we only get $103,000 a year in that. And that's because that's based on the square footage of deficient bridges within your county. We do pretty good in keeping up with our bridges. We don't have a lot of deficient bridges. We're trying to stay ahead of them. Obviously, there's a lot of counties who have a lot of deficient bridges. They even have closed bridges. So that's all prorated based on that. So we only get $100,000 a year into that fund. So it takes a while for us to build that up to be able to do a project, because typically you're looking at $750,000 to do a, you know, a county bridge on a federal aid system. So, and then I've got our township road mileage and valuations of each township for 2017. This comes from either the auditor or the clerk's office, one of those two. It's not anything that we produce, but something that they produce. You see we have 1,531 total township miles.
Jeff, I know there's a couple asterisks there. At the bottom, there's nothing in the column. Is that...
That means nobody went down in valuation from 16 to 17. And I think that's because the assessor's been out. I got something in my mail. I know that my house went up.
Yes.
I think everybody did this year.
Yes.
So they've been out hot and heavy hitting it, which I guess helps with our levy, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, I was curious, the second one, it decreased the valuation 70 in a row. That's the one that's sort of...
Yeah. And if you look back over the years, there are some that had the double asterisk, you know.
Yeah, there would have been in our area.
Yeah, people moving out of, you know, those small townships. Yeah. There's no assessment.
So there's a population drop.
Right, in the rural areas, basically.
This is an awesome little chart.
Yeah, it's nice.
I really like it.
It's nice to see. And you'll see most of our townships have, you know, around 50 miles of township roads on their system. So... Right. They got a lot of roads to take care of. We have 200 miles on the county highway system, so that's about four townships worth of roads. But we typically have higher traffic and heavier traffic. I don't know about the heavier thing sometimes. So county highway fund, some of the budget highlights from the county highway fund. As you remember, we purchased a number of trucks last year, and we kind of borrowed ahead against the highway fund, if you will, to purchase those trucks. So we didn't purchase anything in 17 to kind of get that money back into the reserves. We also did the same thing when we sealed the joints on the building and painted the exterior of this building last year. So we were $500,000+ kind of in the hole last year, if you will, versus what we levied. So we're making that up in the 2017 budget, get that back into the reserves. And then we're trying to stay ahead of the maintenance of the building, because I know Champaign County struggled with that over the years, and I don't want this building to be part of those struggles. So we actually developed a fund this year that we're going to transfer $100,000 a year to for highway building maintenance, okay, specifically for this building. So you'll see that as an expenditure in our 2018 highway fund. And the reason we're able to do that now is that was about our payment back to the bond. We had a 10-year bond on the building. It was about a $100,000 payment a year going back to, you know, paying for the construction of the building. We paid that off. Mm-hmm. So we're going to take that money and move it over to a maintenance fund, and kind of, as Rick termed it, a sinking fund, let it build up.
As it should be.
You know, because something's going to happen at some point, whether it's air handler or, you know, the roof or what have you. You know, we'll need major repairs, and that way we'll have enough money. We don't have to come asking the general fund for money in order to maintain this building. So,
Jeff, just real quick, how did you do on your sale of those other trucks?
We made $107,000 for four trucks, which was a lot higher than we thought it was going to be. We were hoping we would get 15 per truck, and we had a broker come up from St. Louis who really wanted them. He was going to turn them into plow trucks, so basically turn them back into exactly what we took off of them and turn around and sell them. He thought he could make money doing that, so we sold them to him. So we took bids, and he was the highest bidder.
Well, as long as he didn't read about the drivetrain.
He knew what he was getting himself into. I mean, he does this for a living. He knows what International Truck's history is, but he was willing to take the chance that he'd be able to sell them to somebody.
Unsuspecting.
Yeah, I don't know. That's his gig. So you'll see our FY17 budgeted fund balance is back above $1 million again. The proposed for 2018, when we go through the budget, you'll see we basically have a balanced budget, so that shouldn't move much unless we don't get the Ameren money. We end up having to pay the ADA out of reserves. You know, it could bring us back down to around the $1 million range, which is what we're trying to stay at,
right,
in our highway fund. We don't have an expense per capita or anything of that nature for 2018 yet. And then we go through our goals there and in relation to the county board's strategic plan and their goals. You know, we do the pavement management system. We have a pavement condition index of 75.3, 73 bridges on the county highway system. One is load posted, which will be replaced next year, down on the road going between 130 and Pasotum. Obviously, we have this building, which is awesome and houses our vehicles, and we're doing the maintenance of the county-owned vehicles out of this building as well. We talk about the record that we have in securing federal dollars. 2018, we'll be getting $2 million in federal highway safety improvement funds to upgrade all the guardrails throughout our entire county highway system, which is pretty awesome because it's one thing that really Sangamon County right now, they had a guy doing 100 miles an hour, intoxicated, spun his car sideways, went into a guardrail, and the guardrail punctured his car, took his leg off, and he's suing the county because they had the wrong end on their guardrail. It wasn't up to snuff, basically. You know, so guardrails are a big thing as far as litigation goes, and if we can get them all upgraded to the latest and greatest, we shouldn't have those troubles. We haven't had those troubles yet, but it just takes one guy like that, and then you never know where that's going to land in the courts.
At the latest degrees, those brothers, look like a cable fence?
No, that's what you see along the interstate.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Cable
guardrail. What happens is have you seen the ones where they got a flat end and somebody has hit them and the guardrail's rolled up?
Yeah.
That's what it's supposed to do. It's supposed to take that impact, slow the car down, basically, and roll that guardrail up instead of it just being a blunt end where they hit it and basically it's going to go through the car, or the car's going to go over the top of it or whatever. Plus, the height of the guardrail has changed. It's higher now because there's so many SUVs on the road. It used to be, you know, spec'd for cars. Now they're specking it for minivans and SUVs. So it's like 4 inches higher. It went from 28 inches up to 32. We got a lot of 28-inch guardrail out there. So, you know, an SUV theoretically could go over the top of it instead of going into the guardrail. So we're going to take care of about 50 or 60 different places along the county highways with this $2 million in highway safety improvement dollars. So the only ones we're not going to replace are bridges that I anticipate replacing in the next 5 to 10 years, because I don't want to spend money and then go out and rip the guardrail out and put a new bridge in the next 5 to 10 years. So we're working on that. Probably be 2019 construction project. We'll bid it in the fall of 2018. But we got $1 million initially, came back and got another $1 million in HSIP funds to do that. And then we also, as you know, applied for $300,000 to control all the intersections out in the townships. I know Brad's got all his controlled, but there's a lot of townships out there. There's probably 800 uncontrolled intersections in Champaign County. Well, there's literally no stop sign at those intersections. So we're working with the Township Highway Commissioners to pick the through routes in their townships, and we'll do a contract for furnish and install of stop signs at those intersections, and that will happen in the summer of 2018.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Jeff, just real quick,
yeah.
On those bridges that you're going to anticipating replacing over the next few years,
mm-hmm.
just for liability's sake, can you post it? Is there a warning that you could post?
Then you're admitting liability.
Oh, okay.
I think.
Yeah.
I don't really know that we, I mean, all the old guardrails, in essence, are grandfathered in. When we put them in, they were the standard, they were the right ones. So unless they get hit or for some reason, you know, they start tipping over where we're not doing proper maintenance on them, you know, I feel like we're in a position, if we go into court, we'll be in good shape. But until you go into court, you never know if you're in good shape.
I was just curious, limiting liability.
Yeah. So, I mean, the townships, for God's sakes, I don't know how many thousands of feet of guardrail are on township roads that are absolutely out of standard and out of spec.
The state's and replacing over the overpasses right now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's something that you don't really think about spending money on, because it's not something that really makes the roads, you know, better for people to travel on, but it does make them safer. And I never would have spent $2 million on guardrails unless somebody gave me money to do it. Let's just put it that way. I wasn't going to go out and spend motor fuel tax money to upgrade our guardrails. But if they're going to kick in 90%,
yeah,
and we only have to pay 10%, it seemed like a deal that was too good to pass up. So we jumped on it and we're awarded the money.
Yeah, eventually you'll have to replace them anyway, so you might as well get them in on
right.
the ground level.
Yep. And we've actually found some guardrails out there that are up that aren't even warranted. We're just going to take them down because mm-hmm. there's no reason for them to be there. They're just an obstacle for us to mow around and for somebody to hit if mm-hmm. they go off the road. So there's that too, where we're not even sure why they ever got put up. They've been up there for 30 years. They're rusted. They're too short. They're an obstacle for somebody to hit. And we're going to take them down, rebuild the shoulders, or rebuild the slopes with this money, and then we won't even have the guardrail there anymore. So we're kind of doing a little bit of everything with that money. Moving on, we got our performance indicators. You know, talk about our roadway project tonight. We've got two scheduled for 18. The one down on the Chisholm Road and the one on the Broadlands Road that are both federal aid projects. We do a pretty good job of estimating our roadways and building our roadways. We very rarely go over budget when we do a project on a roadway, because there'll be some additions, there'll be some deletions, and it typically all adds up to be very close to what the bid was through the contractor. So,
Jeff, can we go back?
Yeah.
I thought maybe it might come up in engineering services, but the number of FTE, full-time employees,
yep.
goes from 20 to 21. Can you discuss
I was going to talk about that during the budget. Yeah, we can talk about it now. We have 21 FTEs approved by the board. It's just when John Marker retired 6 years ago, we replaced that FTE with a guy that we hired from IDOT. He only stayed for a couple of years, so we've been like 3 years probably without filling that position. And the reason I didn't fill that position is because I hate to just go out on the street and try to find an engineer. I want to find somebody who's going to add value to our department. And We've got, so there's a young lady, she's like 38 years old. She worked for Sodimans. She did all of our plan development and everything when she was at Sodimans. Sodimans got bought out by Fair Graham, so she went on, moved on, was working with Fair Graham. She did all of it. She did the Dewey Fisher Road for us. We paid $300,000 to develop those plans. And then Furman Engineering, which is a woman-owned business enterprise, opened up an office here in Champaign. There were two ladies that left Fair Graham, Ellen Hedrick and Jenny Marner, went to work for Furman. They did the plans for us for the Dewey Elliott Road. They did the ADA development plans. So we got $150,000 in plan development there that were given to a consultant. Ellen Hedrick just recently accepted the job as the village engineer for the Village of Mahomet. So Jenny came to my office and said, I'd really like to talk about coming to work for the county because I've been working with you anyway for the last 5 years, and she does an absolutely tremendous job. And we had this full-time position open, so I thought it's about the best time in the world to hire somebody. We got the County Highway 13 project, which we is federal aid. We haven't even started the plans. She did the ADA sidewalk development, and that's about 90% done, so she can finish that. We got the Posodum Road, which is federal aid, which we haven't even started design on yet. We're going to do the road from Homer to Sydney, I'm sorry, from 130 over to Sydney in 2019. I anticipate trying to get highway safety improvement dollars on that, so I'm either going to have to hire a consultant or have somebody in-house do it. We only have two engineers working for us besides John Cooper, my assistant, and with a $10 million budget basically every year to do stuff, we just can't cover everything. You know, we had to hire Mike Carnahan to go out on Lincoln Avenue this year as a part-time engineer. I brought John Marker back as a part-time engineer to help him out there. John Marker's told me this is the last summer he wants to work as a part-time engineer because he's getting up in age and doesn't really want to be out on construction anymore, so I'm going to lose him next summer. We have to inspect 600 bridges across the county. We only have three certified bridge inspectors, and they're all out on construction all summer. So by the time they get back in the office and get all of their construction stuff wrapped up, it's basically the 1st of January, and then we're pushing, trying to get all those bridges inspected in a timely manner. If we get a bunch of snow, we can't even inspect bridges. And then we get on the bad list from the Federal Highway Administration because we miss our cutoff date for our bridge inspection. So there's just a number of things that we're struggling with right now, and we're paying outside dollars to a consultant because of our lack of our engineering force. And heck, back when Denny was here, there was two or three guys, you know, Dale was here, Denny was the assistant, Terry was the, I mean, there used to be five or six engineers in this department, and we're, I mean, Jamie's a technician, and Jamie does a great job, but he's not an engineer. He can't stamp anything. He's not a professional engineer. Jenny is a professional engineer in the state of Illinois, 38 years old. I can't think of a better person to have on staff, and that's, and Gosha told me she's got 4 years left, and then she's going to retire. John Cooper, I don't know, but he's 67 plus years old. I don't know when he's going to retire, but it's going to be soon. So I'm trying to make sure that when those things happen, we got the appropriate staff to continue to do what we're doing. And also, over the next two or three years, we got plenty of design work, which is what Jenny really wants to do, to keep her rolling all year around. And she's going to become a certified bridge inspector, so we'll have four bridge inspectors doing our bridge inspections. Because when you do bridge inspections, you're supposed to send out two people. Mm-hmm. Just for safety purposes. I mean, you're climbing up and down bridges, and you know, sometimes we take boats out to do them. And so with only three certified bridge inspectors, we don't have like two sets to go out and look at. So I could have advertised for this when Adrian left, but it's so hard to find somebody that's really good that fits exactly what we want. So I just kind of left it open. And with this opportunity, and she's told me she's 38 years old. She would like to work here until she retires. She sees you know, and she's willing to come to work for the salary that Rick has approved, which is the mid-range for the senior engineers, because it's a little bit of a bump from where she's at right now. So it just seems like a good time and the perfect fit for this particular engineer. Now, I had to advertise for it. I've received 3 applications. They closed today. I'll interview all 3, but I don't see the other 2 having near the credentials that Jenny does to take this job.
And when you're paying for outside engineering, and you're doing a project, can you still charge out? So whatever the dollars were for engineering, can you, like the feds or the state?
It's very difficult to do that. If I take my federal dollars and use it for engineering, that takes away federal dollars from my construction. It's not like there's a separate pot for engineering.
I was just trying to answer the question that so the dollars that are going out for outside engineering, where would they go?
Into construction.
Okay.
Yeah. And some would go to her salary. I mean, the midpoint's $31.40 an hour for a senior engineer with a professional engineering license. So that's 60 plus benefits, maybe we're at 80. You know, we're easily well over 100, 200 every year. This guardrail thing, I think we're going to be between $200,000 and $300,000 on engineering on that. And she could have done that for us if she had been here. And we've got a lot of other things that we need to do. We have no culvert inventory for our culverts in the county. That's something that IDOT keeps pushing us for. We have to inspect all the bridges over 20 feet, but we don't have to do anything yet for bridges under 20 feet, which we got a lot of, you know, box culverts, big culverts that cross the roadway. We don't have any kind of condition index for any of those, so we kind of wait until somebody calls and says, hey, we got a problem, or the road starts to sink, and then we go out and fix them. So it'd be nice to get that done. We've got our sign inventory program, which John Cooper kind of runs, but he's not all that adept at using electronic devices because he didn't grow up in that world. I'd like to turn that over to Jenny and have her run that and be more proactive on that, because, you know, if that's another litigation thing. If somebody runs a stop sign and gets T-boned, and we didn't have the appropriate, you know, the sign had been out there 8 years and it had a 7-year warranty and it lost its reflectivity, then we're kind of on the hook for that. So she's just so multifaceted as far as the things she can do, and her efficiency is unbelievable. And we're going to have to buy some software in order to allow her to do the things that she can do, because we don't have all the appropriate design software that she's going to need to do her work. So there's going to be some expense there, but it's not going to be that great.
Just an add-on question is, you talked about people that are mature like me. Anyway.
Are you mature?
In some situations. But do you have any incentive programs for additional certifications?
No.
Is that something that would be... I mean, to keep a good employee, that they could get advanced certifications, and, you know, so that it would be open to everybody in your department.
Right.
But so that people would want to stay, and then that way, anything that you have to go out of house for,
right,
they're becoming certified to do.
I don't think you have a lot of turnover.
No, we don't.
Yeah.
I mean.
But I'm thinking that just to keep, if you're writing a check to somebody else, and you could do it, but you're not certified.
I guess we don't pay them extra money, but we will pay them to go to those classes. We will pay their travel. We will pay their hotels, their meals, all that stuff. Like, and if somebody wants to go on and get a master's degree, there's a way that the county will help out in the education process too, and paying the tuition and so forth. So it's not extra money for them, but we will pay for them to get certified, you know, and have those certifications.
But when you say 38, then, you know, it looks like then there's, you know, 20 plus years.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, to encourage any employees that are,
right,
you know, wanting to come up, that they could get certified in lots of different areas that you need.
Right, because we do, like Dan, who's one of our senior engineers, is a professional engineer and a professional land surveyor. But there's nothing in the guidelines, the personnel policy, that allows me to pay him more because he's got 2, you know, professional licenses. That would have been nice if I would have had that. But
There's nothing in the policy. Basically, once you get here, you get your 2% or whatever it is a year that the board approves. And there is some allowance for merit from time to time from the board. But I've always been one who's kind of spread that merit around. Because like right now, I haven't seen, how often do we see our engineers, Michelle, from May until November? They come in to get paint and
coffee
and they leave. You know, so they're, this is the first summer I've been here. I actually got John Cooper out in construction. He kind of gave me the business about it the other day because he was having to climb around on a pier and put a shim underneath to make sure a beam was fitting. And he called Jamie and said, Jamie, I can't do this. You got to come out here and climb up on this pier because I'm just not stable enough to do it. So, you know, when we start getting into those situations and we're hiring two part-time engineers and we're hiring outside engineers, it's my fault because I get a lot of money to do a lot of stuff, but it keeps our roads really in great shape. So I think it would behoove us to have this approved position.
Would it be outside of the policy if you did figure out some incentive program?
I don't know. I'd have to work with Rick on that.
You know, that's something that we'd have to look at. One of the problems the county's had is that we haven't had money really to do incentives and things. And ideally, I would love to see something of a technical ladder for people. I mean, the people in engineering and IT and some of those other disciplines, I think that their compensation is out of sync with what the market is. So, and I strongly supported Jeff on this. You know, not to repeat what he said, but you know, basically he's identified a gap in our competencies. He's got someone who can do it, because I think she's also a PE, if I remember correctly.
Yes.
We're spending money outside on things, and we have a budget headcount available. And I think, and you know, I don't want to tell Jeff how to run his operation. He knows best what he needs for it. And I'll tell you something else too. I mean, I know that you know, we have budget issues right now. Tammy and I spent time with department heads. It was a frustrating time because we had talked about how we can make economies to close our budget deficit. So when we asked for that, I basically got crickets. And Jeff was one of the people that stepped up and is helping us make some economies to help us close the deficit. So, you know, he's a non-general fund department. He's helping the general fund out, and I appreciate that too. So I think this is entirely appropriate.
Jeff, how much of your projects right now do you have to farm out to a different engineer?
Every one of them. All of our designs.
Yeah.
So now if we hire her, how much of it could she handle? Could she take it all?
Anything but bridges, because she's not a structural engineer. So I still have to farm those out, because you have to be a licensed. If I got a licensed structural engineer on staff, we'd be golden. we could do everything. But that's a $100,000+ job. I'm not going to find that for $60,000. I'm flabbergasted that I found this person for $60,000. I've had multiple people, like when O'Neill's shut down, one of their head guys, Brad Schotten, you probably know him, came in and talked to me because he wanted to work for the county. When I told him the salary, he said, he just kind of giggled and said, there's no way I can do that. I got X number of kids at home, my wife doesn't work, and I need 100 plus to do the job. And he got a job with Foyt's, I'm sure, for that kind of money.
Yeah.
So what Rick says is true. I mean, the engineering profession, professional engineers in particular, to find a really good one at the salary that we're willing to offer is almost like a miracle. So that's why I wanted to jump on this when I could.
Well, and she's familiar with the projects.
And she's familiar with all our staff. Everybody gets along well with her. She gets along well with everybody else. And she's not doing this to fill a gap, I don't think. She's doing it to stay here. And I could see her progressing up the ladder and maybe being the assistant county engineer at some point, you know, when she gets a little bit more under her belt and so forth. So, I mean, I'm going to lose every engineer I got before I
retire.
Pretty
quick, yeah.
Except for her, I hope. So I'm going to be replacing people, and I might do the same thing again. You know, when Gosha retires, I don't know that I'm going to go out and advertise for it, because I don't want to just get somebody, you know. I want to get the right person, and she is the right person.
Okay. Good.
So that's what that's showing there, that FTE going up to 21.
Okay.
I suppose maybe that should have been 21 all along because it's been a funded position. We just haven't spent the money. But I think they just show the FTEs as actually people that are on staff working in the building.
Yeah, it's not adding something.
Yeah. So if we look at our performance indicators, the one that I like to look at the most is the pavement condition index. You see we're going up from 17 to 18, and that's due to the fact that we're totally rehabilitating County Road 23 north of Dewey. That mm-hmm. road was about a 25, and when we're done, it'll be a 95. And that, when you only got 200 miles of road and you take a 6-mile segment and jump it up that much, right. It's really going to help out our overall pavement condition index of our roads out in the county. So that's a nice thing to see there. Other than that, those are just kind of indicators that show how much money we're spending and, you know, what we're doing out there in the roadways. You see our percentage of roads with a PCI over 60 is going to jump way up. We'll take that County Road 23 job off of that one, so it'll jump us up to 95. And then we look at how much time we spend removing snow and ice. We had a relatively good winter last year, so that was down. You never know, so we just, you know, 2,000 is kind of the mark that we use when we have a typical winter from year to year. So moving on to the actual budget numbers, you know, in our expenditures, the kind of the outliers that you'll see in there, state reimbursement is $250,000. We have a project we've been trying to do for 2 or 3 years down in Raymond Township, realign a roadway over the top of a railroad track, and that's actually a project that we'll get reimbursed from the state on. We have an agreement with the state, so you'll see a reimbursement there. Hopefully that will actually happen in 18. The township reimbursement is for the stop signs. We got a little bit of local government reimbursement from the Lincoln Avenue job that we'll get from the city of Urbana. And actually, they're using their federal dollars to reimburse that. Mm-hmm. And then the rest of them are pretty typical. The miscellaneous revenue you'll see there, that's from Ameren. We're anticipating $400,000 to kind of make up for that $400,000 we're anticipating using on the ADA. And then our regular and full-time employees, the new engineer has always been in that FTE or that regular full-time employee line item. We just have never spent the money. So we should be at like 100% this year on that line item. A little bit in temporary salaries and wages, but I don't really anticipate that much next year. I got enough in there to cover something if we need to do something. Overtime is a crapshoot.
Kind of standard plug-in.
Yeah, that's just, I mean, our engineers don't get overtime. That's basically for our snow plows. And our technician, Jamie, does get overtime when he's out on construction if he works over 40 hours a week. And just going down through the line items on the following page.
Interesting, you've got unemployment insurance lowered by about $3,500 there.
That comes from, not no, from your, me. Somebody your else puts that number
annual.
In.
Annual.
Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of these
it's
numbers.
Interesting, it went down.
Particularly in the fringe benefit thing, those are put in by Rick's people.
Mm-hmm.
And we just go with whatever they put into our budget.
Mm-hmm.
Gas and oil is a big one, $125,000. You do see some outside engineering stuff in there, and that's because we got to finish up this guardrail thing that we started with an outside engineering firm. I can't just take it away from them now that we're going to have somebody on staff. But we're going to have to continue with that and get those plans totally developed and get that bid out. And then the rest of it's kind of standard, everyday kind of work. Hopefully they have the equipment maintenance starts dwindling with our new trucks and the new equipment that I'm hoping to purchase in 2018, but I don't want to pop that down yet without knowing. You see we're $187,000 is how much we spent in 16. So
seems like your equipment rentals and your repair, that's where you're getting your budget cuts from. Like a 3% overall. I'm sorry, Steve.
Quick question. I may have misunderstood. I thought when we were approving the resolution for the ADA work, you talked about dollars that were coming in from Ameren. I'm assuming
right.
that was a wind farm. I'm looking at wind farm reimbursement road costs, and I'm not seeing anything there, so.
It's actually in other miscellaneous revenue, the 400,000. Because it was not a wind farm, it was power poles.
Okay, I didn't, that's a nuance, I didn't get when you said Ameren.
That line was put in there when we were doing the wind farms.
All right, thanks.
And it just has stayed in the budget. Kind of the last page of our expenditures, in the highway fund, you'll see the road improvements are pretty high, and that again is that Raymond Township Railroad Project along with our ADA ramps. And I put a little bit more in there because we always, there's always some road improvement that we want to do that I don't want to ask for motor fuel tax for. A good example of that is this year, the intersection of Homer Lake Road and Route 49. The state was coming through and doing some work. That intersection needed help, and we've been thinking about doing it for a number of years. We just had the state go ahead and do it for us when they were coming through. End up costing, you know, $10,000 or something to do that. So I always like to have a little money in there so we can do something that seems economical and smart to do without having to use motor fuel tax funds, because then you get into all kinds of other stuff that they want you to do. We have $25,000 to replace one of the engineer's vehicles. In the automobile and vehicles, $350,000 in heavy equipment. Our loader is a 2002. That means it'll be 16 years old next year, going in and out of the salt pile every winter. It is a rust bucket, to say the least. And we've got a rough estimate from John Deere to replace that of about $185,000 off of a National Joint Powers Agreement that we can use through them. And then about $165,000 to replace one of our tandems. Our Peterbilt is a 2006, so it'll be 12 years old. We try to keep those things on about a 12-year rotation for replacement. And that one has got a lot of electrical issues due to the corrosion underneath it from the salt over the years when we've been plowing and salting the roadway. So looking at trying to replace that one in 2018. And then you'll see two highway department 60-62, that $100,000 transfer to our building maintenance fund. So our expenditures are within a few hundred dollars of our revenues. So we have a balanced budget for 2018. Next is just a list of all of our equipment that we have in the years and unit numbers. You can look down through that and see.
There's that tractor.
What's that?
There's that tractor.
Yep. So that's just for information purposes, so that's in our budget. The next one is the new highway building capital fund, 083062. As you remember, Bailey Edwards did kind of a overview of all the maintenance of the buildings. Their number was pretty stiff, $266,000.
Mm-hmm.
That seemed awfully high to me. We're gonna budget $100,000 annually to put into this fund so that if something does come up, hopefully we're in good shape to be able to take care of it and just let it build up until such time as we need that capital in order to do the building. I did go ahead and put the expenditure the same as the revenue for this year, just because I don't know if an air conditioner is going to blow up or something's going to happen, and I don't want to have to come back and do a budget amendment to expend the money on something that that happens in the 2018 budget year. So that's the new capital building fund. We got the County Bridge Fund, which you know is for rebuilding county bridges as well as helping out townships. We do a lot of 50-50 projects with the townships, small projects that are $20,000. We pay for the culvert, the township puts it in, and we call it 50-50. That's how we use that for township. And then that's also used to match that township bridge program that we talked about before. We try to keep about $1 million in there. You'll see the budgeted fund balance in 17 is about $1.6 million. We're going to chew up a lot of that in 2018 and actually drop a little bit below $1 million because of the projects that we're going to do in 2018. But as you know, I mean, like that wing wall fell off. We had to fix that this year. That's $200,000. We had the bridge on
in Champaign Township a few years ago on Kirby that we needed to redeck. That was, so we got to keep money in the fund just in case something happens major to a bridge that we weren't anticipating, so that we can, you know, react without having to go out there and close a bridge or otherwise post it so that people can't use it. And we got some performance indicators there. You know, we do, in 2016, we did 9 bridge projects, and these are actual bridge projects, not just the small culvert projects that we do with the township. We're anticipating 5 in 2018, but they're rather large projects. Got the 2 bridges up on County Road 20, the big one down on County Road 16. We've got a couple of township projects that we'll be working on as well. And our bridge projects typically come in at or below, you know, what we anticipate them to come in at, as far as the construction and the bid versus the actual estimate of those projects. So you'll see we generally spend all of our money from the bridge fund on engineering services, which is what we talked about. It's the one thing we can't do. We do not have a structural engineer on staff. We're spending $300,000 next year. $100,000 structural engineer looks like a pretty good bargain if we could get one in here. And I got one I could hire tomorrow if I paid him $100,000. But we don't have that senior engineer, structural engineer as a, you know, as a approved engineer. But I know one that I had lunch with on Thursday would come here for $100,000 in a heartbeat. So if you guys are at all thinking about doing that, I could accommodate, I'm pretty sure. But we spend it on engineering and basically reconstruction of bridges and culverts. $1.8 million on the construction and about $300,000 on engineering. And then we put some in there for maintenance because there's always some work mm-hmm. we need to do on bridges from time to time that we need to use that fund for. Motor fuel tax fund, we're doing pretty good in that fund right now. And the reason we're doing all right is because of all the federal money that we're getting. We're getting truck access route program money. We're getting HSIP money. We're getting our STR federal dollars. Like the 2 projects we're doing next year, the road going from 130 to Posotum, we get federal dollars, which is 80%, and we're going to match that with truck access route program money with the 20%. So there's no motor fuel tax money at all going into that project. And then the Broadlands Road, 80% federal, we're going to match it with our federal aid matching fund. So we're really not going to have any major expenditures in our motor fuel tax fund in 2018.
That's one fund we were worried about.
Yes, especially with the fringe road stuff that was going on. You know, we got the Lincoln Avenue we're going to have to pay for this year.
Right.
But we anticipate.
So it's kind of come out of that caution to we're okay.
We're okay for now. If we can keep getting federal dollars, we're going to be doing all right.
Right.
If it ends up we have to start paying for everything.
We were worried about it just like sucking it dry, one point. Yeah, okay.
And that was simple when we were talking about Olympian Drive and Lincoln Avenue and Philo Road and Curtis Road. Those are $10 million projects where we would be paying a significant share of those. Some of those we've been able to do. We got lucky on Olympian because we got a lot of state money on that one. The Lincoln Avenue one, we got 80% federal dollars on that, so we're not having to expend as much money on that.
Yeah.
So the fact that the cities are hurting a little bit on money and they're really going after the federal dollars helps us because whatever they spend, that's what we spend because we're like a 50-50 partner on those projects. So the more money they can get from those different pots, the better off we are as far as having to pay our prorated share of those projects. So the fund balance that we'll probably be projecting for 2018 is going to be even higher than what we're seeing there in 2017. Because of all the federal dollars that we were able to bring in for 2018. So, like I said, the road improvement that you see there, the $400,000 is strictly for guardrail this year. No road projects. The equipment rental, which is $225,000, that seems like a weird number because how could we possibly be renting that much equipment? That's a transfer from motor fuel tax funds over to highway funds. that we use to bolster our highway fund. So we keep track of all the hours that we use our equipment and our vehicles, and we actually bill the motor fuel tax fund from the highway fund for the use of those vehicles on the county roads. And we're able to transfer that money over to the highway fund, and that's why our highway fund has been able to kind of stay in decent shape, and we're able to help out with the general fund as far as cutting some of their costs. So our total expenditures are about $1.8 million. We're looking at bringing in $2.7 million, so we're going to be plus $800,000 or $900,000 in the motor fuel tax fund. But we're looking at doing some major road projects in the next couple of years after that. That will probably draw that back down. We'll be able to get some highway safety improvement dollars, I think, on those projects, but that'll only be for certain pieces of widening the shoulders and putting on rumble strips and that kind of thing. But the actual roadway construction, since we've drawn down our federal balance so far, we'll probably end up coming out of motor fuel tax funds in the next couple of years after 18. So you look at our, this is our plan. I just put this in here for information purposes. We went over this at the June meeting, what our plans were going into the future as far as construction and maintenance on our projects. We got the federal aid matching fund, which, as you remember, in 2014, we started reallocating money to that. We had $340,000. We get another roughly $100,000, so we have about $440,000, but we're going to take $350,000 of that out this year to match the federal dollars on the Broadlands Road. So that's where that expenditure is going in that budget. So we're doing pretty good. The sky is falling in the nursing home stuff. Thank God that doesn't happen to the highway department. We're hanging in there. We're able to do what we're going to do, and able to build roads and maintain them. I think our roads are getting better, which is kind of an anomaly across the state, especially if you drive the interstates. They're not getting in better shape. They're deteriorating. They're not able to keep up with them. So I appreciate, ever since I've been here for 12 years, we've always got our portion of the increase in the assessed valuation, and that's why we've been able to keep up. That we've been held flat for 12 years, it'd be a lot different situation out there on the roads on the county highway system. So that's where we're at.
Thanks for giving us the overview of the budget.
You bet. So any questions about anything about that?
Next thing, we'll go to all the business.
I just had one thing, if I could, okay. Madam Chair. ELUC last night, we ran into kind of a booger deal with renaming of Lincoln Avenue, but I think we got that squared away last night. Because the new Lincoln Avenue has to be Lincoln Avenue, and we got these little spurs that are left. They had to be renamed, which causes a lot of grief for people because they have to change all their checks and everything else. But we were able to work with the Squire family. We came up with a pretty positive resolution, I think. The old road is going to be called Squire Farm Road.
There you go.
I put your name on it.
And then the little east-west portion that hooks back into Lincoln Avenue is actually where the old farmstead is when the Squires settled that property years and years ago. So we're going to call that Centennial Farm Road. So kind of helps out with the bad feelings out there of the whole project. As you know, it's been a tough project since the onset. There's some people that aren't quite happy. The other residents who have to change their stuff and they don't get anything out of it. Like
if they're over 60, they're probably getting their checks free anyway. Because they generally get free checks to senior accounts.
I didn't know that.
I think it's only resident.
You better check into it wherever you bank.
So if you get 80%, I think you're doing pretty good.
Just a thought. Check into it. Sometimes it's not advertised.
And just FYI, I know we generally do this the month preceding the meeting that is a conflict, but I have a conflict on October 6th.
Me too.
And I would like to move that to the 13th in October. So I'll be asking for that in the September agenda. So if y'all look at your calendars and see if that's going to work for you.
October, I think, what?
October 6th is the scheduled meeting, and the 13th is the date I would like to move it to.
That'd be wonderful for me because I'm gone the 6th.
Okay.
I'm gone the 13th.
May I have an approved absence for the October 13th meeting?
I don't know.
I'll be gone too, so that's going to be a...
I'll approve the quorum.
I don't know, we need to ask.
I may be at a conference.
Well, you would be either day, though, maybe.
I'm in Reno.
You would be maybe either day.
Either day, I may be at a conference.
You going to the Grand Sierra?
This is what August looks like for when I'm out of town.
Well, everybody look at their calendars, it'll be on the September agenda. Hopefully it works out.
I just finished a lot.
I didn't bring back Mr. Cooper.
He may be here in November, because I actually have a conflict with that meeting, too. But if we move it a Friday, it ends up on Veterans Day, so we can't move that one. He may be here in November, if we have enough agenda items to have a meeting.
Are you back on the 15th?
It's really cool.
And that's all I have. I think there was some other folks that...
I did have a question, and as a new member, I know this is the relatively, I'll count myself as new until I've been here.
There you go.
Can I ask a question about liability insurance with CUMTD? And I had not gotten any information back with regard to that. Appropriate vehicle for me to get that information?
RPC.
Yeah, so I've got a meeting with Delitzo next week.
Okay.
Is it appropriate to mention it to him, or should I go through this committee making a request?
The only reason that comes through here is because there's no place for RPC to land. It's the only appropriate committee, so they just kind of come when they need to. So I don't have anything to do with any, the CUMTD.
Is this the issue with the C-carts?
Yeah, just a question in terms of their liability insurance. There was an issue as to whether or not it was at a minimum, they said they'd get back to me, and haven't yet, so.
Yeah.
I'll talk to Delitzo then. I'm sure they've got that information available, and I just wasn't sure. I wanted to make sure I was using the appropriate channel to ask the question.
Yeah.
Okay.
Max?
That's good.
Just real quick, and also that RPC reminded me that there was Rita did a nice presentation at EDC the other day, and I'm curious when it would be coming to us.
For the Curtis Road?
No, for commercial transportation trucks.
They're trying to develop a commercial transportation route. Yeah. She's going to come in September because we're working on a Curtis Road corridor study, which she's going to be asking for letters of support from each entity. So she's going to be here in September anyway. So I could ask her to do that at the same time if you wanted me to.
The abbreviated.
Abbreviated version?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
I will ask her to do that.
Okay.
I have a question for you, Jeff. Yeah. I'm not sure this goes under other business, but I have been getting a multitude of calls from Thomas about that overpass and how Stark left a mess there. What do we do? What's going on? I haven't been by there, but evidently the road is just tore up, and the sides are all tore up too. And they were supposed to put it back when they were done going across it, but they did not do that at the time.
Which road?
The one that goes over the overpass, past the Casey's there?
Yeah.
That's where I'm thinking, because then that leads into Schluter's. Well, maybe they fixed it.
You're talking about the little road that the village owns that goes down to where we did the work.
Uh-huh.
We don't think we did any damage to it. If you're talking about...
Well, not you. I think they're feeling Stark was supposed to replace or do something.
No. Well, that wasn't in their contract.
Because not just Joel called me, but...
Joe Earl. He's worried about the silt in the box, which we're not...
Well, not just Joe. Joe left me a big long email, but so did Martin.
Who's that?
Young guy. Anna Martin's husband, Anyway, he left me a message, and then Rhonda Scott, and she's on the board.
Everybody thinks that we were working on the overpass. We didn't touch the overpass.
Okay.
And the surface on the bridge in the overpass is actually IDOT's responsibility.
Okay.
So we can't do anything. We tried to when we redid 11 from Dewey Fisher Road over to Thomasboro.
Uh-huh.
We asked IDOT if we could redo the surface on the bridge, and they told us we couldn't touch it because it was theirs. So if they're talking, that surface on that bridge is horrible.
Yeah, and who would take care of that silt in the box? They're thinking it came from all that construction and work.
If anybody has to do it, we would have to go in there and do it with our forces, because Stark's gone. And I don't believe they left in any worse shape.
I'll drive by there this afternoon. Yeah. Well, yeah, I know. I know, that's my brother-in-law's cousin.
Yeah.
And they did leave a pile of dirt there, but there was a pile of dirt there when we got there that they, when they had cleaned the ditch out. And we didn't know if somebody wanted to use that for something, so we didn't want to just take it and run with it. But if there's some issue on that little road that goes down in the box, the highway department could do whatever we need to do to make that right. It wouldn't be Stark's responsibility.
I will drive up there, and then I'll stop and talk to Rhonda and the guys.
Let me know.
I will.
You mentioned stop signs.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't like it.
Issue with the, a sign that hasn't been there, Cottonwood and Anthony, coming off the interstate bridge over the people speeding through that stop sign. Who would I talk to about? I know they're going to be putting, you know, checking all the stop signs.
Is it missing?
Yeah.
It's gone?
Well, it's never been there. But they, you know, they come over the interstate and they get to that, you know, they're stopping the other direction, but they're coming so fast that someone's coming, you know, they don't, they stop the stop sign, they start to.
So they want a four-way there?
They want a four-way there.
That would be Jim Prather. That's Urbana Township.
Okay, I'll look into that. I'll go by there. I haven't driven over there yet.
Okay, any other business? There's no chair report. The designated items would be 8, 9, and 11. We need 10.
10, yes. Yep, all of those.
8, 9, and 10.
And 11.
And 11. So, since there's nothing else, I declare us adjourned.
Thank you.
Uh-oh, what did I do? I'm always in trouble.